Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2015. I'm opening a meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today, I am now opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 5519 related to the State Library. And Mr. Borden, if you get us started, please.
Madam Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, there are a few items of note this afternoon. The first is just a reminder, there's no subcommittee meeting on this Thursday. And also posted out on OLIS are several things. One is the Department of Administrative Services response to subcommittee questions from Thursday, February 19th. And they're posted underneath that date. Paul Siebert wanted to make sure I reminded you of that or let you know of that. There's a variety of state library postings for today's meeting, including their day one presentation. But there are, several unique things that the request of LFO, the agency, has provided. One is a primer on their state agency assessment. The other is another primer on their Ready to Read program, and the third is one on their federal maintenance of effort, federal match requirements, and the governor's narrative is also out there. The game plan for the state library is for 2 days. The first day, the agency is going to do an overview based upon the direction of the co-chairs of Ways and Means, the presentation instructions. And if they are ahead of schedule, what we'll probably do is have the chief financial office do their presentation today as well. And then for day two, you'll start off with two work sessions. The first is a grant from the governor's office, as well as and then followed by a grant from the state library. Both of these are out on OLIS and ready for your review. And the last thing to note about and then on the second day it will conclude with public testimony for the state library after it finishes its day two presentation. The last thing to note about the state library is the co-chair's budget framework does include funding for the second year of the library, as well as a general fund reduction of $110,897. So that's an unspecified reduction at this point.
Thank you. Ms. Dahlgreen. And anybody else who's keeping you company.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Steiner, Hayward, and Smith, and subcommittee members. For the record, my name is Mary Kay Dahlgreen, and I am the state librarian. I certainly appreciate this opportunity to share information about the state library with you today. So, as Mr. Borden said, we have 2 days of presentations for you. Today, I'll be talking about the services and programs of the state library. And tomorrow, I will be sharing the results of our strategic planning process. You'll also hear public testimony about the state library. So, a little background on the state library. The state library was established in 1905 as the Oregon Library Commission. In 1907, we established the Oregon Documents Depository Program. These are just some high level, this isn't everything that we've done in the last 110 years. In 1939, the State Library building was completed and opened. In 1956, the Federal Library Services Act was passed, and that's an important date for us because that's when we started getting federal money. 1969, Talking Book and Braille Library moved from the Multnomah County Library to the Oregon State Library. And in 1993, Government Information and Library Services, the state agency assessment was established. And in 2006, we established the online Oregon Documents Repository. So in 1907, we established the depository program, and then in 2006 we put that online. So the duties of the state library are set out in statute as the following. We promote adequate library services for all of the people of this state. I'm not going to read through all of this, but kind of the highlights are we provide advice and assistance to libraries. We maintain and develop appropriate collections. We provide library services to people who are blind and print disabled in cooperation with the United States Library of Congress. And we prescribe conditions for the use of state documents in depository libraries and provide for permanent public access to state government publications. So this is the big picture of the state library. And you'll see that we have three divisions. Our operations is essentially IT, our volunteer coordinator, and our fiscal office. We have three divisions: government information and library service, library support and development services, and the Talking Book and Braille Library. I put a detailed organizational chart in the appendix of this presentation, but what I'd like to do today is I would like to go through each of these divisions for you. And these divisions may look a little different than they do in the in your budget documents, and that's because we're really trying to focus more on how we can have a more accurate indication of the work that's being done in those divisions. So I'd like to start with library support and development services. And statutorily, Library Support and Development Services promotes adequate library services for all the people of the state. And we also provide assistance and advice to libraries, library boards, and to units of local government empowered to establish libraries. So our Library Support and Development Services division is managed by a half-time program manager. We have an administrative specialist who works with all of the other staff in Library Support and Development. We have essentially three areas of service that we do in library support: youth services, electronic services and technology, and federal grant administration. Of course, those aren't the only things we do, but those are the kind of the major sections. In youth services, we have one librarian and one program analyst, too. In electronic services, we have two librarians, and for federal grant administration, we have one. So the customers of the Library Support and Development Services Division is 131 public libraries, and actually, as of last week, there are now 132 public libraries. Our colleagues in Halsey have created a city library, which is very exciting. We have about 56 academic libraries. There are 1,200 K-12 schools, approximately 1,200 K-12 schools. We do not have libraries in each of those schools, but we do provide services to all of those students. We serve 9 tribal libraries, the 9 federally recognized tribes. We work closely with community leaders, and we also work very closely with library staff. Youth Services has essentially 4 pieces: the Oregon School Library Information System, Summer Reading Program, we do consulting and technical assistance, and the Ready to Read Grant Program. The Oregon School Library Information System is a web portal that is available to all K-12 students in Oregon. And also, we also have a citation maker, and we have information literacy activities on that as well. Students can access that at school, but also at home. We have the summer reading program, where materials are available to all public libraries. We belong to a collaborative at the national level that provides really high quality work and materials, so that we don't have to create it at the state level. We provide consulting and technical assistance. We work with libraries, state agencies, nonprofits, and local communities. And by technical assistance, I mean, for example, my youth services consultant will work with local community libraries on the kinds of programming they should be doing in their libraries, or they could be doing in their libraries. The Ready to Read grant program is state general fund for public libraries used to serve children. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Ready to Read grant. It is the only general fund that comes to the state library that goes to public libraries in the state of Oregon. The Ready to Read grant has been in place since 1993. In 2013-14, for each dollar of general fund, $1.87 was leveraged in local dollars. 52% of the public libraries provide all 3 state library designated best practices: summer reading, early literacy, and outreach. In 2013-14, attendance at library youth programs was 1,240,000, and 207 children signed up for summer reading. Also in 2013, 14 libraries were asked to measure one or more of the above outcomes of their 2013-14 grants. And so you can see that what we're looking to accomplish here is young children developing early literacy skills, really working with adults to help them work with children. We're looking at maintaining skills over the summer. We're very, very interested in the love of reading. I think that we're one of the only organizations that focuses pretty heavily on that. And again, we want the adults to be involved in the work as well. So those outcomes we were looking for in 2013, and 66 of the 72 libraries implementing Ready to Read grant-funded early literacy activities reported that most participants achieved the desired outcomes. We did that with a survey. And policy package 102, excuse me just a minute.
Thirsty for knowledge, Representative?
Well, I won't go that far.
Policy Package 102 takes our Ready to Read program and it turns it into the Reading for Success program. In January of 2014, we began the budget process for the 2015-17 biennium, and we formed a task force to explore possible changes to the Ready to Read grant program, particularly to align it with other state-funded programs. The task force included public library staff, partner state agencies, and partner nonprofit organizations. The recommendations became Policy Package 102 and House Bill 2479, and the changes would include that we would increase the eligible ages from 0 to 14 to 0 to 17, increase the minimum grant from 1,000 to 1,200, allow public libraries to use the funds in addition to using them for early literacy and summer reading, to also use them for out of school time for school age children. We're going to place a greater emphasis on outcomes and specifically target underserved children and families.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you very much. What would be your reaction to having these grants be challenge grants, so that in order to be spent, they had to be matched in the local community on a one-to-one basis? So you, in effect, get twice the bang for the buck, but it also shows that there's an investment, that people in the community value the program.
Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, I can certainly see your thinking on this. I think it would be, in the very smallest communities, it would be very difficult.
Follow up?
Certainly.
Give me an example of a small community that you think it would be difficult, because I represent a boatload of them.
Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, I'm actually thinking more in terms of the smaller communities in Eastern Oregon. For example, Helix, Athena.
Follow-up. Let me just share with you that the community of Napa 2 weekends ago raised $90,000 for their school programs. That is their single biggest fundraiser. People save up all year to participate in that. I think it does an enormous disservice to dismiss small rural places, and that we have to give them charity rather than having them leverage the funds and get twice the bang for the buck.
The next service that we provide is electronic services and technology. These four services are all federally funded. Libraries of Oregon provides access to federally funded databases and provides an opportunity to locate local libraries. Our technology consulting is assisting local libraries plan for their appropriate technology in their libraries. AnswerLand is our online chat and text reference service. You may be familiar when you go online to a store, the little online chat will pop up. This is the same opportunity for people to ask questions of local librarians. And then our online databases make online library resources available to all Oregonians, and those are made available via local libraries, schools, and at home. And finally, the service of the Library Support and Development Division is federal grant administration. The State Library receives $2.1 million in Library Services and Technology Act grant in the Grants to States program. That is administered by the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And that funding funds statewide projects, the ones that we just talked about in technology, and it also funds competitive grants to local communities via their libraries. This federal grant, the Library Services and Technology Act State Grants to States program, requires a federal match and maintenance of effort. So, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. I just wanted to mention to you that our that the 2015 grants have the contracts have just gone out last week, and we will be providing $586,000 to local communities, local libraries. And those libraries are in Hood River, Umatilla County, Linn County, the OHSU Library, Josephine County, Baker County, University of Oregon, and Multnomah County.
So just to clarify, Ms. Dahlgren, when it says, this one says requires match and maintenance of effort, that's match from the state or match from the groups that get the grants?
Match from the state, Senator.
Okay.
And I'll talk about that a little bit more in detail.
Mr. Gordon?
If I make, Madam Co-Chair and Co-Chair's member of the subcommittee, that's a federal fiscal year number or?
Yes.
So for the biennium, it's roughly doubled for the state?
Correct.
Okay.
So the maintenance of effort requirement requires the state library to not replace existing state funds with federal grant dollars. And we also need to be spending the state dollars for the same purposes as we're spending the federal grant dollars. So in this case, Oregon is the grantee, and we use our state money that is expended on Talking Book and Braille services and the Ready to Read grants as our maintenance of effort. We can only use state funds for maintenance of effort. We can use any type of funds for our match. We can use grants, we can use state funds, we can use local funds. So, and we can also use the same funds for both match and MOE. So we don't anticipate, nor have we had any trouble making our match. Match is pretty straightforward.
So can I just clarify something in the center? So you're saying you can use the same, so the money that we use to support Talking Book and Braille and the Ready to Read program can double dip? It can count both for the match and for the maintenance of effort?
Senator Steiner Hayward, yes.
Thank you. Senator Whitsitt?
Thank you. Just to follow up on Senator Johnson's line of questioning, those, so your federal grants, the match could come from the local areas as well?
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, yes.
Thank you.
So, essentially, what maintenance of effort means is that Oregon, the grantee, has to spend same state dollars for the same purposes as the grant funds, and we can't replace state funds with grant funds. So, the next division I'd like to talk about is Talking Book and Braille Library. And Talking Book and Braille Library statutorily is required to provide library services to Oregonians who are blind or print disabled in cooperation with the United States Library of Congress. Our Talking Book and Braille Library staff consists of a program manager, half-time FTE. We share the library support and development and Talking Book share the same program manager. We have a student worker. We have focused specifically on circulation, checking those books in and out, collections, maintaining the collections that we have, and outreach and customer care. Talking Book and Braille Library is a federal partnership with the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped in the Library of Congress. We are funded with general fund. Our staffing is mostly general fund. Donation fund, we have a very generous group of patrons who provide us with donations. And the materials and postage are received from the federal government. They actually provide us with the machines and the talking books. And then we use Free Matter for the Blind for our for the mailing the materials. So, again, Talking Book and Braille Library provides services for eligible Oregonians who cannot read conventional text or hold conventional books. And you'll see that that the breakdown that we have here is very, very heavy on the senior community. We have 41% of our patrons are over 80, and 3% of our patrons are 0 to 18. The 55,126 patrons that we have are about 8% of our eligible Oregonians. So what we circulate to our patrons is players and digital books that are sent to eligible Oregonians and returned to the Talking Book and Braille via the U.S. mail under the provisions of Free Matter for the Blind. We send out about between 1,200 and 1,500 cartridges every day, and we receive in return about 1,200 or 1,500 cartridges. So it's a pretty busy place. Eligible Oregonians who have access to high-speed internet can also download materials directly from Braille and Audio Reading Download, which we call BARD. There is also an app available for iPhone. They've been working on the Android app, but I think they're having some trouble with that. So if someone has an Apple product, they can download directly from BARD.
Madam Chair. And you may not have this information, but when I was in college, and now that we can do this by downloading, one of my good friends was partially blind, and so then she would get things from the library and then have to go to the copy machine and enlarge them. Do you have many people that are in college using your services or not?
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Representative Comp, we are essentially a public library for blind and physically handicapped. We don't provide academic textbooks, material like that. It really is focused on, it's focused very much on popular reading. And so we don't have a large college-age population. What we do have is we work with the Willamette ESD, which has the Oregon Textbook and Media, to provide materials for school-age children.
Thank you.
The collections that we provide at the State Library are from the National Library Service. We have some from the National Library Service for the Blind. We have audiobooks and magazines. Those are on digital cartridges, and they're used with the digital player that we have that's been created by the National Library Service for the Blind. We have Braille books and magazines available to our patrons who read Braille. We also have downloadable audio and Braille books. Braille can be downloaded as well. The State Library provides national and Oregon newspapers, and we do that through a service called Newsline. It's on the phone or on the computer, and those newspapers, that service is provided with donation funds. And then we also provide descriptive videos, and descriptive videos are essentially, they're videotapes, but they have over the top of the video are descriptions of what is going on screen. And they're very, very popular with our constituents.
Sorry, Representative Palm.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just have to ask, you might be getting there, because I was surprised one time when I was visiting a care home,
mm-hmm.
and they told me about the tabs that they could put on their stoves, their refrigerators, their wash machine, their dryers, so that in Braille, mm-hmm. so that they could easily tell which button they should be pushing. Mm-hmm. And like I say, maybe that's your next line, but it was just absolutely impressive, and because it helped them stay independent.
Maybe I can help a bit if I would have. Maybe Representative Nathanson, who chairs the subcommittee, we had a great presentation from the Commission on the Blind at the Human Services Subcommittee last week, I believe, mm-hmm. Madam Chair. They talk a lot about this kind of stuff. So they do a lot more of that pragmatic, independent living work. And the library provides much more of the ongoing reading material, as it were. But your point is extremely well taken, and it is important for the state to work with seeing people who have limited vision one way or another to help them maintain their independence and enjoyment of life. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, we heard some similar information from VOC Rehab, Office of Vocational right. Rehabilitation.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. The other piece that I want to talk to you about in our Talking Book and Braille is outreach and customer care. We have really ramped up our outreach program because we have 8% of the eligible Oregonians who use our service. We want to find out if there are more people out there that can and want to use our service. We've been reaching out to assisted living and nursing facilities. We reach out to both staff and residents. We have been giving presentations to service organizations. We talk with public library staff and patrons. Public library staff can verify that somebody needs to use our Talking Book and Braille service. And so we work really closely with the public libraries so that they know that that service is available, because oftentimes it's very difficult for them to provide the depth and breadth of reading materials to the blind patrons. And we also work with state agency staff. We had a meeting a couple of months ago. We had one of our staff members talk to state agency staff about the services that we provide. Staff also follow up with newly registered patrons to assure their ability to use the service. And as you noticed, a large majority of our patrons are elderly. And I just want to tell you a little story about Aunt Dorothy from Hermiston. We got an email from a young man, I don't know how young he is, from a man who told us that he had just stopped by his Aunt Dorothy's to take her grocery shopping. And she was so excited because she had just received a phone call from a staff member at the state library, the Talking Book and Braille Library, asking her how she was doing with her new machine and her new book. And this young man said that Aunt Dorothy, who is 94 years old, was quite impressed with the service from the state library. And I just wanted to share that with you because the customer care, we're really ramping up on that as well, because we want people, once they start using the service, we want them to continue to use the service. We have a policy package that relates to Talking Book and Braille Library, and that is Policy Package 100, which would sustain the current service levels within Talking Book and Braille Library. It would shift the State Library Specialist 1 from other funds to general fund, and the other funds that we use are donation funds. Our donation account is no longer sufficient to fund the position. We are continuing to, we have a very, very generous base of people who contribute to the state library and to the Talking Book Library. But we don't get a large interest rate, and so we are running out of funding for that.
Senator Johnson.
Could you be specific on what the scope of magnitude is? What kind of grants do you get? This looks like a $50,000 for all intents and purposes. That you're not making that, or in donations?
The donations are from individuals.
Okay, how much?
We usually get about $80,000 at each time we ask, and we do that twice a year. We provide a number of enhancement services with that funding. The patrons, I think, believe that this is that their funding is going to enhancing rather than basic services.
Madam Chair.
Certainly.
I'd like to see the math, because what I think you're telling me, but I don't know, is that any contributions go into a corpus and you're living off the interest of the corpus?
We actually have, Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, we actually have two donation funds. We have an endowment which we don't spend the principal on. And we do spend the interest on that. And that what we put into that are when people specifically want it to be put into an endowment, into the endowment. We also have a donation fund that is expendable. And that donation fund, we gathered interest for quite some time on that donation fund, and now we have spent out the interest on the donation fund. Both of those sit in the state treasurer's office. And so we're in a very low interest, low risk category for those.
Okay. I'm still trying to understand the math. You're asking for $50,000 in general fund because the people that value the program aren't making enough donations to help support it anymore, and now you want to shift to general fund.
Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, our patrons are actually being very generous with us. The fund was shifted, I believe, 3 biennia ago from general fund to donation fund when there was an issue with funding in the state. We use this for enhancement programs. And so what we'd like to do is we would like to the state of Oregon to go back to providing basic services so we can use the donations for enhancements.
So if I could, Ms. Dahlgreen, you may not be aware of what I'm about to say, and so I don't count on you to say that I'm right. My understanding, Senator Johnson, is that this is in some ways analogous to the cultural trust, which is to say that they don't have an actual big endowment. That part of it's different. But what funds that they do have, they're limited as to how those funds can be invested by the state treasurer. This is a similar thing that required the cultural trust to have a statutory change a few years ago to allow it to be invested in the intermediate fund rather than the short-term fund, which does limit the return on investment that they have available to them. I think the other analogy that's fair is that my understanding is correct, in 2009, the state swept a significant amount of funds from the corpus of the Cultural Trust's fund,
$2 million,
to help support necessary programs during the recession, and that this switch for the state library was an analogous change, which is to say that this position used to be funded by general fund, and then the state had to make the decision during the lean times that it couldn't afford to do this.
I understand all that. I want to see how the math works. I'd like to know how much is in your endowment fund and what the rate of interest is. And believe me, I would assume it's low if it's a low-risk account. Do you need statutory permission to change into a different category, perhaps the intermediate fund? This answer just is substitute other funds for general fund. I am trying to tease out what the need is and what your thinking is.
Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, I will get you that information this afternoon. And
take your time. It doesn't have to be that fast.
And
that's a good question, Senator. Thank you.
And also it would require a statutory change. We've looked into that with the Department of Justice.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Gordon? Co-chair, I just want to be clear about the need for the statutory change. The fund shift proposed in that policy package does not require a statutory change.
No. Understood. It has to do with how the money's invested. Am I correct about that? What money they have available is what kind of an account it can be put into under the treasurer's control, right?
A broader issue, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now I'd like to talk about government information and library services. This also is statutory that division maintain and develop appropriate collections of library materials to supplement the collections and services of other libraries in the state and to meet the reference and research needs of the Legislative Assembly and of state government by providing library services. We also prescribe the conditions for the use of state documents in depository libraries and provide for permanent public access to state government publications. The structure of government information and library services is a full-time program manager manages the interlibrary loan document delivery, reference outreach and collection development, and technical services. And again, there's a detailed organizational chart in the appendix for this. So government information and library services provides services to the eligible recipients who are state officials, including the legislators, state employees, and former statewide elected government officials. Currently, we have a little over 8,000 registered for our service, which is about 21% of state employees. We've just recently done kind of a cleanup of our database, so it has gone down a little bit with that cleanup. One of the things that we're doing to really engage the state employees who have signed up for our service is to provide them with a specific personal welcome letter when they register for the service, and that has been very, very well received. And I think what it's done and what it's going to do is it's going to remind people that the services are available. The library materials that we provide are peer-reviewed journal articles. Most of those are available electronically. Scientific reports and journals, again, we have online databases that provide most of those. We have historic publications. We have state and federal publications. And then subject-specific books and journals that apply to state agency work. Our general collection, which is everything that's not a federal or state publication, is about 112,000 items. And that's items. So that's if something is multi-volume, that counts each one of the volumes. Federal documents, we have about 881,000. And state publications, we have about 222,000. So our library services are, again, mostly involved with state agency staff. So our librarians and our trained paraprofessionals assist state agency staff with information requests. We develop, maintain, and provide access to pertinent information collections. We borrow materials from other libraries in Oregon and the U.S. for use in state agency work. We provide training in using resources and materials. We provide current issue tracking. And we are working very hard on our outreach to state agency staff and the legislature. And one of the ways that we're doing this is that we've looked at the outcome areas for the 10-year plan, and we have assigned a librarian to each of those outcome areas and to the agencies in those outcome areas. We're working on creating baseline service levels based on a 21st century library. We are working with other agencies on the e-government website subportals. So we're helping them populate those subportals. We're identifying reference needs of organizations, hopefully before they know that they need that information. We're creating information guides where the agency and state library staff share information with coworkers and with clients. And we're also working on some special projects, specifically we're working with the Commission for Women and the Advocacy Commissions to provide data on the conditions in Oregon. And again, like I said, specifically for the Commission for Women, we have a staff member who has provided really excellent service in getting that information out. So, agency budget drivers and environmental factors. The rapid pace of change in library technology requires rapid response by state library staff. I think all of us know how quickly things move, and in some cases they move even more quickly in the library world. And so we really need to keep up with the technology so that we can provide the resources that state agency staff need. The reduction in the local library budgets and increasing use of local libraries requires increased state library support with grants and consulting. Changes in the use of library materials and library spaces requires reevaluation of spaces and materials. And I want to be really specific about that because we are doing something very specific about that. We have 5 tiers of stacks, which means we have 5 levels, essentially, of books in the state library. We are in the process of weeding Tier 5 and vacating Tier 5 because we no longer need those materials. We offer those materials to other libraries, other organizations, but what we really really need to do is we really need more electronic resources. And so by doing the very standard library weeding, every library does it, by doing that, we are hopefully freeing up some funding so that we can provide more electronic resources. And one of the things that we're doing is we get trial resources from the vendors. One of our staff members does a great job of working with vendors. And then we send those out to state agency staff to see if that's something that would be of interest and of use to them. The sophisticated information needs of state agency staff requires sophisticated materials and services collected and maintained by the state library. We are very much seeing students come out of, seeing workers, state workers come out of college having used really sophisticated information sources, and so we need to make sure that those information sources are still available to them as they're making good decisions for the state of Oregon. Our aging population requires that we provide legacy services as well as current services, and I would say that our Talking Book and Braille Library is probably the best example of that, that again, we have a very elderly population. We'll need to continue to provide them with service as we're looking at new forms of service for younger Talking Book and Braille patrons. So I want to talk a little bit about our key performance measures and the results. These are the current key performance measures. We have done some work to upgrade those, but they weren't changed because we were in the middle of doing our modernization reorganization. So we have created objectives during the strategic planning process, and I would really like to talk more about those tomorrow when I'm talking about our strategic plan. But I would like to tell you how we're doing on our key performance measures. So the number of research transactions for state employees is under target slightly, and it also has a slight decrease from last year. We believe that one of the reasons for that is because as people are becoming more familiar with those resources, they're doing better searches, and they don't have to do as many searches. The percent of state employees registered to use the State Employee Information Center, again, that's above target, and it's about a 2% increase over last year. Cost per state employee contact, that is under target. It went from 420 to 370, and that's a measure that we use. We look at everything that we provide, and so there are some, we don't weight it, so there are some things that require, more work and more staff power, but that gives you an idea of what we're doing. Average daily visits to the search engine for Oregon.gov, that is under target, and it also has decreased. And part of the reason for that is because the new website, the new Oregon.gov that is being administered by NIC USA, has its own search engine. And so the Oregon.gov search engine is being phased out.
Do you have a sense of how much money that's going to save us that we don't have to maintain that?
Senator Steiner Hayward, It really was so low maintenance.
Okay, thank you.
The number of individuals registered to receive Talking Book and Braille services, we are under target, and there has been no change. We're really holding very steady. I am hoping we've really started working with outreach and sending our staff out to promote Talking Book and Braille, and I'm hoping that over the next year we'll really see the fruits of that.
Do you coordinate with the Commission for the Blind on this, I assume?
Senator Steiner Hayward, yes.
Thank you.
The percent of eligible users who are registered for Talking Book and Braille services, and again, we are under target with that, and there's no change in that. The number of audiobooks and Braille books checked out per year, again, we're under target. There's no change. And the cost per circulation is under target, and it's been something of a decrease. So it, or an increase, I'm sorry. It's gone up slightly from $1.55 to $1.93, but it's still under our target of $2. We look at the percentage of public library grantees incorporating best practices into their services to children. And again, those three best practices are summer reading program, outreach, and early literacy. We are slightly under target, but we have had a 2% increase in libraries over the last year. Average daily visits to library-funded databases. There's been a decrease, and we're under the target. I think, again, with a lot of the databases and a lot of the electronic services, the more people get used to using them and understand how to use them, the more those we're hoping that they're doing better searches and not needing to do as many searches. The same with the daily visits to the Oregon School Library Information System. We had to do some rebuilding of that last year, and so we're still recovering from that. Average daily visits to library-funded AnswerLand virtual reference site, that is under target slightly, and it's a slight decrease, but it's very, very minimal. It went from 102 average daily visits to 94. The percentage of customers rating their satisfaction as good or excellent with the state library has, it's under target. Our target is 98%. And we are not at our target, but we have had an increase in our satisfaction, customer satisfaction. Overall, it went from 94% to 95%. And then best percent of best practices met by board, that's 100%, although we do have three new board members. And so we are going to need to provide some pretty extensive training for our new board members so that we can maintain that best practices by the State Library Board. So in the appendix, I just wanted to give you an idea of what's in there. We've got the organizational chart, staffing changes over the current biennium and span of control. We have information about policy package 080, which is our two-year budget, and number 101, which is operations realignment. And then we have a slide about legislation affecting the state library. So tomorrow, I would like to talk to you about recent changes that we've made at the State Library. And I'd also like to share with you our strategic plan that has been recently completed and we are implementing as we speak. I want to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll have public testimony for you.
Thank you. Are we going to do CFO? Yeah? Yes? No. Good. Let's go for it. I gotta ask Ms. Pearson, what's with the lighthouse picture that's on all the CFO presentation this year? Why was that the chosen image?
Shining a light.
Shining a light on the finances? Okay, thank you, Representative Mason. All right, good. Well, you're off the hook, Ms. Pearson.
Madam Chair, yes, Representative I assure you that Senator Roblin loves this because this is out at Bandon Dunes.
It's beautiful. I'm not objecting, and I'm a huge lighthouse fan. I was just curious as to why that particular photograph. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing any scene of Oregon's wonders, which are many, but I was curious. Just a side note. Sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, my name is Lisa Pearson with the Chief Financial Office, and that photo was selected out of several, but it was sort of a 11th hour choice. I think it was because the colors and everything went well with the other parts of the budget.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna present a brief recap of what we just heard, actually, from the governor's budget development point of view. So the first thing was that the agency is a part of the governor's efforts to increase literacy and decrease the achievement gap. And the Oregon Education Investment Board, the Oregon Department of Education, the Early Learning Division all have investments in order to try and increase early childhood literacy, reading by third grade. There's also an effort in the education arena to make sure that students are on track to graduate, what they're calling ninth grade on track. There were also investments made in order to have accelerated learning between students in high school moving into the college or community college world. And so the policy package that you've heard about that would change the Ready to Read program to Ready for Success expands the age range for the students who would benefit from the program. And it's intended to take care of the 15 to 17 year olds who were previously excluded from the Ready for to Read program, and also to expand the out-of-school experience from just essentially the summertime to year-round, anytime they're out of school, to make sure that nobody loses skills that they've developed, or to encourage skill development. And so this is part of the 10-year plan Vision for Education, which is Oregonians are equipped with knowledge and skills for rewarding careers. So this graph shows that there's essentially a flat funding, except for that $139,000 package for the Ready for Success program. And as I just mentioned, Reading for Success, the $139,000 is the real investment in this agency's budget. Other adjustments are really of a more technical nature. There is a package to move three positions from one program to administration, and it has to do with information technology and where it would best sit within the organization. There was a package added to reduce travel and increase vacancy savings, and that was related to maybe some of the uncertainty that the past few years has produced in staff. And then finally, as was mentioned before, there was a reversal of a fund shift that had occurred during the Great Recession years from a general fund position to other funds, and now it's recommended to go back to general fund. And that was because of the donation account not being able to continue to support that position. And then there is one adjustment that would need to be made in House Bill 5016, Section 2, Subsections 1 and 8. The division between the assessment and non-assessment other funds expenditure limitation totals was incorrect and would need to be changed. But, of course, by the time this passes through work session, it would probably need to be changed anyway. So, and that concludes my presentation.
Thanks. Questions for Ms. Pearson?
Oh.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
As Mr. Borden had previously noted, the co-chair's framework actually does fund the budget for 2 years.
Got it. Thank you. Questions for Ms. Pearson? Questions for Ms. Dahlgren? Okay, I'm closing the public hearing on Senate Bill 5519. Any other business before the committee? Colleagues, I'll just remind you that we have work session first thing tomorrow on these two grants, so we'll need to be here as sharp as possible at 1, and that at the moment, at least, until you hear from us, unless you hear from us otherwise, we have nothing scheduled on Thursday, so you get an hour and a half free after lunch, which is always a nice thing. Mr. Borden, anything else? Mr. Co-Chair, anything else? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
What?
Anything else? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
What?